Connecting.
Get straight into it. We've just got a list of questions that we've picked up off the forums. Fendal and Noz have been combing the forum thread for questions that they think are going to be getting some meaningful answers. And we're going to follow up the dev blog from July. So firstly, this is probably a good question for Noz to start off with. With the changes, or with the dev blog that you released in July, we saw the changes come on to Singularity briefly. A few players might not have heard from them then. So what's the status of the speed balancing changes at the moment, and when can we expect to see them coming back?
Well, I did mention in the dev blog that we're allocating a long time to work on these changes. Although we've taken some time off to work on other projects, we'll still be actively altering and tweaking stuff on our internal servers. Multiplicity, which was our like live platform where we were going to be tweaking stuff live, was unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, hijacked by the guys working on the server improvements that have been like deployed on Tranquility the past few weeks. So next week we're expecting Multiplicity back, so you'll be able to try out everything we've changed in the meantime. And regarding deployment to Tranquility, I'm not really at liberty to say, but hopefully, if everything works out, it will be released in our next expansion.
All right, good stuff. So we're looking at the next major expansion. Now, just getting a bit of a notice, apparently some players are having a hard time hearing Noz. If you wouldn't mind just tweaking your volume a bit while we throw the next question over to Fendal. So there are, of course, with Eve being a reasonably complex game as it is, and the balancing thereof is quite complex, with the sort of the huge implications of some of these changes coming through, changing modules and stats across the board like this, is there any consideration of doing a staggered deployment of this change, or is there a concern that it might be a case of biting off more than we can chew, so to speak?
That's a very good question. So the thing is, with a staggered deployment, is we risk kind of to change the balance for every single change we do. We kind of risk to get a new feature of the month set up, basically, and we want to basically make the speed changes and get it over with in a single chunk, because it affects so many different systems at the same time. One thing we could possibly delay a bit is the webfires and the scrambler changes, which don't really hinge on the main speed changes as such, but definitely the main balancing of ship speeds, masses, and agility, all that really has to go into the same patch, I think. One of the reasons also is that we have a defined list of targets we want to hit with the speed changes. We have a number of set goals that we want to achieve with this. And if we do it in small incremental steps, then we basically, until we reach the last incremental step, we will basically not be hitting the targets, so to speak. So that's the main consideration, I think.
All right. So moving on, looking at interceptors. Now, of course, interceptors have been having some issues of late with being able to be overtaken by some of the ultra-speed-fitted cruisers. With regards to these changes, will SpeedFit rigged interceptors be able to outrun light missiles or light drones such as Warrior 2s, Noz?
No, in both cases. However, they'll take a lot less damage due to their speed. So, what we're aiming for is that the appropriate size weapon should always be the most effective towards the same size class. And within that same size class, they should never be like completely untouchable due to speed, of course. But there are some other issues, such as medium-sized drones catching up to like frigates, and I think we'll be addressing that as soon as possible.
Okay, and continuing along on the line of this, with the ability to now one of the key things that ships have been able to do when they're speed fitted, which is perhaps not intended, is being able to reapproach a stargate and jump through, even when they're webbed, or if they get webbed after they start to approach. A lot of times ships are very fast and their momentum is able to just carry them on back to the gate. Is this a game design consideration for speed balancing?
Yeah, of course it is. We've been keeping an eye on this on the test servers and will do so again when it hits public testing. We're not entirely sure how it would work out on Tranquility, of course, but some options we've been looking at are, for example, removing the stacking penalty from the webifiers. So definitely we will be keeping an eye on this and we will resolve the issue if issues, if there will be any issues.
Okay, cool. Now, we've got a question here now on, I guess this is probably a better one for Fendal because it's relating to weapons and damage and numbers and things which I don't quite understand very much because I'm not much of a mathematical genius. But are missiles or weapons or anything like that, are they going to be nerfed, or should I say adapted, to suit these speed changes?
Yes, definitely. As we implemented the speed changes, we uncovered a lot of problems in different areas of the game. So one of the problematic areas is the missile system, which is not really in any shape or form balanced as it's implemented currently. And the other area is drones that we're also looking at. Medium drones are, in our opinion, too effective, and it's something we're going to take a look at. With respect to the missiles, we're looking at implementing a completely new damage formula, basically. So basically revamping the missiles totally, more or less. We have a test version of it that we'll deploy to CC pretty soon, or Singularity. And the idea is basically to still maintain the signature radius to explosion radius or cloud size protection for smaller ships. So basically a smaller signature radius means that you don't take as much damage from missiles. But the speed factor that we currently have is not really something we would like to keep because basically it's a benefit to it really rewards you for going really fast. There's no speed tanking really for afterburners as such. It's just a question of do you have a micro warp drive or don't you have a micro warp drive. And what we're looking at is basically to use the sig radius to speed factor, kind of like for tracking, and use that as a basis of how much damage you take. That would mean that, for example, afterburners would be extremely useful because they do boost your speed by quite a bit, but there's no signature radius penalty. And on the other hand, micro drives would not be quite as effective for speed tanking. They still boost speed more than they boost the signature radius, at least with good skills. So they would have some kind of benefit, but it wouldn't be quite the same. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to deploy some test version of it pretty soon on CC.
Okay, so we saw the sort of first iteration of these speed balancing changes go out on CC a couple of months ago now. I'm assuming, based on feedback, that there have been a few changes to that because it got pulled off CC and we were hoping to use Multiplicity, but it didn't work. So with the latest internal revisions, what can players expect to see when we get this back on Singularity compared to what was on Singularity before?
Right, so it's basically going to be the revamped missile system, as I described, and also we are adjusting the agility of the ships. With the stuff we released earlier, it was basically we adjusted the agility based on the base speed, the mass, and so forth, and the previous agility, of course. But we, in our calculations, we used the macro drives as a factor also, and that kind of skewed the resulting agilities. So, for example, Minmatar ships became less agile than they should have been compared to other ships. So we're moving back to just doing a base calculation based on the base mass without any macro drives or plates or anything, and just the base speed, base agility. So that should hopefully fix a lot of the agility issues we had.
Okay. Now, one of the areas that's looking at being addressed by these changes is, of course, stasis Weber fires. And the Marauder ships, the Tech II battleships, they get a bonus to stasis Weber fires in many cases. How will that ability be kept intact? Or what considerations are being made to ensure that these guys are still able to outperform everything else with a web?
Well, in our current iteration, we just increased the bonus from 2% to 10%. That is the bonus to the velocity factor of status webs per level. That won't make them as powerful as they were before, but they'll be by far the most powerful. So, yeah, I think it will work out quite well.
Okay, and with changes to micro warp drives, will there be changes made so that the micro warp drive doesn't become a mandatory module alongside a stasis web fire? Because at the moment, you see most ship setups, most PvP setups in the game, you have to fit a micro warp drive really to use it, because it's the only way you can really stay competitive in a fight. Is it what changes are going to be made to make ship setups that can be feasible, perhaps, without a micro-warp drive?
Well, after the changes, afterburners become a much more desirable choice in many cases, as they won't be affected by the new and improved warp scrambler that disables micro-warp drives. So if you want to be in your enemy's face, fitting an afterburner is a pretty good idea. Yeah, as it's also pretty hard to slow you down now when we've reduced the effectiveness of the webifiers. So I think a lot of people will choose to fit an afterburner and a scrambler after the changes. Or, well, that's at least what I'm going to be doing.
Okay, so you heard it from the horse's mouth first. The devs are going to be fitting afterburners and scramblers. So, moving on to the next question. We're looking at, it says, why does your approach to slowing down the ships that we seem to think go too fast include making ships that are already slower, things such as battleships?
Right, I'll take that one. So it's basically a question of the number of constraints we had. Yeah, basically the goals we set out with the speed changes. So one of the goals we had was that the max possible sustainable velocity should be less than 8 kilometers per second, ideally. In addition, we also had, we wanted a meaningful difference between the classes. Yeah, so for example, between frigates and cruisers and battleships and so forth. And also we wanted to reduce the difference between standard Tech II fitted ships and the best possible setups you could get. That one in particular was a bit tricky because the difference with slave sets and everything basically meant that you could get a factor of more than 8 in difference in speed, which is just not reasonable. And wanted to basically squeeze it down to a factor of roughly 2. So that was quite a challenge to compress the numbers in a sense, while still kind of having a good advantage in using the speed-related modules and so forth. So basically, we needed to adjust the base speeds and masses and so forth of the ships to meet these goals. And obviously, something has to give to meet all these goals. So the result was basically that we had to reduce the speed of battleships slightly. The speed of cruisers is roughly the same as it was before. If you're looking at just base speeds and Tech 2 microwave drive speeds and so forth. And the speeds of frigates is vastly improved with the changes.
Awesome. Now, we've got another question about missiles. One of the things that you can do against turret ships at the moment, which you can't do against missile ships, is tracking disrupt them. And the missiles, of course, they have a lot of ways that you can counter the various different forms of electronic warfare against them. For instance, you can use friend or foe missiles. And the only real sort of counter it, which is defenders, are not always entirely useful, I'll put it that way. So is there any consideration to put in some kind of missile tracking disruptor module, considering that the only real way to sort of deal with missiles is to outrun them at present?
Right, so one thing we like about the defenders is that it's a completely separate system from tracking disruptors and so forth. Ideally, we'd like to see different kinds of mechanics for different types of weapons. So I think the direction we'll probably take is to fix the defenders to actually make them useful and meaningful. I personally would like to see defenders being able to shoot down missiles or incoming missiles for, say, the entire squadron or something, so you can protect your teammates. But I'm pretty sure the programmers might have some objections to that. There might be some performance issues, but it's definitely something I want to look into.
All right, cool. So moving on, we've got one suggestion against sort of the whole concept of the speed change here, is that would it have been a simpler solution to use what we've got in webbing drones to give them a sort of an accuracy and a fall-off, so you could use webbers much more effectively at greater range? Was there any consideration given to that?
Yes. That was actually our first suggestion, but it got completely blown out of the water by programmers and the Need for Speed crew. Basically, it would require too many on-the-fly calculations and just end up causing a lot of lag. So we decided on a different route.
All right. So taking the next question here. We're looking at... what about simply just trying to fix the ludicrous speed, as it's been called, just fixing the modules that go into making these ludicrous speeds, instead of having to go into this sort of complete makeover of ship speed, mass, agility, etc. Why was it done this way?
One of the main problems we had was that we had two different systems that contributed to microwave drive speed that you could boost. Mass, basically, and base speed. And we can't basically stacking of those two against each other, so we decided to combine them into a single system, which is then stacking nerfed, obviously. That vastly reduces the difference between standard Tech 2 fitted ships and really faction-kitted super setups. Like I mentioned before, compressing that range was quite a challenge.
Okay, so we've got another question here about scripts. So why were scripts introduced, with the reasoning that med slot modules with two distinctive benefits were too powerful, when now the warp scrambler gets a second effect without scripts? And also, for those who may not be too familiar with it, what is that second effect?
First of all, the closed-range scramblers as they are now on TQ are pretty much useless. Nobody really uses them after the warp core stabilizer nerf, except for maybe cap-starved smaller ships. So basically when we came up with the idea to disable micro-ROS drives, we were first thinking of using webifiers. But as the idea evolved, we came we became more and more fond of the warp scrambler slash micro-ROS drive killing module. At some point we did consider using scripts, but somehow it just didn't feel right.
Okay, now we couldn't do a speed balancing blog without touching on implants, because there are many, many players out there with hard wirings and snake implants and the like. So three of the most prominent implants being the Snake Omega, the Rogue CY and MY series, they've actually been relocated to the same slot in the changes. So what will happen to characters or clones that have all three of these implants when the implants will want to live in the same slot now?
Well, quite simply, they will just be unplugged if we have conflicts in the installed implants. So we are basically running a database script that just unplugs all implants and places them in the current ship's cargo holds, whatever ship you're in during downtime, or if there's no room in the cargo hold, they'll be placed in an appropriate station.
Quite simple. So, now another aspect that is probably vital to this issue here is the sort of the mobility advantage that you get with smaller gangs. Often people will be using small, fast gangs to fight and to outrun and outmobilize much larger numbers. What alternatives are proposed to maintain this small gang, this sort of guerrilla and raiding warfare, without this sort of drastic mobility advantage that is currently afforded to pilots of speed-fitted ships?
Well, even though you're losing some mobility with these changes, I don't think guerrilla warfare as it is today will die, actually, far from it. It did exist way before we reached ludicrous speed in the first place. But other improvements that are pending are changes to the Black Ops ships, for example. Those changes would involve adding a fuel bay and possibly giving them special abilities in cyanogemmed scenarios. But yeah, the fuel bays are something I'm really looking forward to getting implemented, as it would allow for us to balance many ships that rely on their cargo hold to carry fuel. And having the fuel base separate and non-expandable, we would have complete control and could make it as big as we saw fit without creating yet another jump capable hauler. So basically, Black Ops are getting some love.
Okay, so it's essentially it's going to be, rather than sort of adapting every ship in your gang to be ultra mobile and ultra speedy, it's going for much more of that emphasis on the role based ships and this ability to use these specialist ships to get you in and out. Is that the sort of the correct attitude there, Noz?
Well, like I said, I don't think that guerrilla warfare as it exists today will be extinct. So, yeah.
Excellent news. I certainly know that from my own experiences, the players always have this ability to find every single way to get small gang warfare working because it's so much fun. So, we're going to wrap things up soon. We've got one final question on the list here, which is, will this speed patch eventually give the assault frigate a viable role again? Assault frigates, of course, have been left by the wayside for a little while and perhaps need a bit of love to be viable again. At the moment, it's there's no real reason not to just go up with and get in a much more expensive cruiser, or just to get in a cruiser. So, will this patch do anything for assault frigates?
Yes, I definitely believe the speed changes will vastly boost the assault frigates. One of the problems I see with them was that they're basically a frigate tank, essentially. And with the lack of meaningful difference between the classes, there's just no point in choosing an assault frigate over, say, a heavy assault cruiser. But with the speed changes, there will be a much more of a difference in speed between the classes. But the biggest difference would really be the micro warp drive and scrambler changes, as in the scramblers would be able to disable micro warp drives, because that allows you smaller ships to go in closer, go in within warp range essentially, because the warps are also getting reduced in efficiency. So they could go in where they are most effective, using busters, say, and use the transversal velocity to speed tank both turrets and missiles. So yeah, we'll see how it goes in the testing, but I definitely see assault frigates being much more useful after the patch.
All right, that's good to hear. Well, I think we're going to wrap things up now. This has been a little bit shorter than some of the other live dev blogs, but it's been done this way just in the interest of keeping things nice and focused. So. Just like to reiterate that these changes will be going on to Singularity in the near future, so please do jump on there and give your feedback. We'll certainly be very interested to see what players think of the latest revisions. So with that, I'd like to thank CCP Fendal and CCP Noz for joining me today, and to wish you all a safe flight and a pleasant evening.